We're happy to welcome back to the show the music critic of the Boston Herald, Jed Gottlieb, joins us. Jed, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks so much for coming back on with us again. We always try to get you on in that period between the Rock Hall of Fame announcing their inductees and then the Grammy Awards. So let's start with the Rock Hall. And well, I know the answer, but I'll ask anyway. As music fans, should we even care?
Yeah, right. That is the question. You know, the thing about it is we say that it doesn't matter, and it doesn't necessarily matter, but it provides a boost to people's careers, and it provides a platform, you know, for younger people maybe, or people unfamiliar with artists to get engaged with them. So it doesn't matter necessarily to fans, but it does have a ripple effect. So people complain about it, and as they should, but there is something to it.
Any issues with the people who are going in this year?
Well, you know, we've long ago abandoned this idea of, either abandoned or expanded this idea of what is rock and roll. I mean, this year we have Whitney Houston, we have Notorious B.I.G., we have Depeche Mode, which are all, you know, which some would argue are all outside the bounds of rock and roll and don't really belong next to the Doobie Brothers or T-Rex. But if we have a really insular view of what rock and roll is, then we're kind of done, you know, putting people in this hall. We're going to have to start digging into, you know, bands in the, from the 70s with, you know, maybe a hit and a half or something. If we want to talk about icons that really changed pop music, use a broad definition, then, you know, we have to look across genres and look at people that are a little more unexpected.
From your perspective, who's the most grievous absence in the Hall of Fame? We have our thoughts here. We always lean first and foremost toward Warren Zevon, but what about you?
Warren Zevon is very high up there for me as well. I think, you know, as a songwriter, again, not a household name, even though most people know two or three of his hits, an amazing songwriter. This year, for me, it was maybe Pat Benatar. If the Hall wants to look to expand and have more women in it, which it really should, then it's absurd to think to not have her in it. I mean, she's rock and roll, and she has an enormous catalog of hits.
We're talking with Jed Gottlieb here on Downtown. Well, the Grammy Awards coming up this weekend. Is this one of those years when we're likely to see an individual artist dominate? Could it be a night for a Lizzo, a Billie Eilish, or maybe even Post Malone to hold sway and take home most of the hardware?
Yeah, I think we're looking probably at Lizzo or Billy to have a big year. You know, they've done a slightly better job of spreading some awards. You know, you think of years with Taylor Swift or Adele where they can't even walk out of that thing. They got so many trophies. And I think it's important to spread around the awards and acknowledge that a lot of people are doing a lot of good work. And you know, this year, the Grammys really want us to be talking about music because they are in, you know, absolute turmoil.
Right.
They're dealing with this suspended, you know, chief of the organization who is making complaints that it's a boys club and complaints of sexual harassment and improper voting procedures and conflicts of interest among board members. And then on top of it, we have Aerosmith being the Music Cares Artist of the Year, and they're battling with their drummer, Joey Kramer, suing the band, saying he wants to be, you know, wants to play with them at this crucial moment. They say that he's welcome, but he hasn't, you know, gotten up to the task after an injury. So there's a lot of things pulling, you know, pulling us away from Lizzo and Billy and these other, you know, great artists. It's, you know, it's a mess for them. It's a headache.
What should win Album of the Year, and what's likely to win?
I think, you know, there's a lot. The Lizzo album has a lot to it. I think the Vampire Weekend album was a sleeper with some great stuff. The Lana Del Rey album has had a lot of talk. But I think it's probably going to be Billie Eilish. with, you know, When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? Or maybe Thank You Next from Ariana, which had a string of hits. It's hard to know. You know, they're doing, this is actually a good year where you have a mix of voices. You have a mix of hip hop, you have a mix of rock, pop. So this is actually kind of a legit year with some good contenders.
What about for Record of the Year?
For Record of the Year, I think it's Lizzo, Truth Hurts, probably deserves to win. It was a part of this national conversation as she kind of crashed into the music industry. She's been around for a while, but and the song is a few years old at this point, but it only went big this year. But it's hard to say that, you know, it's hard to argue that Bad Guy is not going to win it. It was the song that toppled Old Town Road, also a nominee on the Billboard charts to make it number one. And I think a lot of people think, you know, if you can knock out Old Town Road, then you maybe deserve a little love. I think some people got pretty tired of that song after, I think it was 147 weeks at number one.
I'm always fascinated by Best New Artist, and it's been kind of a checkered history when it comes to that award for those who get it and are never heard from again, and then others who are nominated and go on to have remarkable careers. I expect Billie Eilish will win. Should she win? And then also among the nominees, who do you see having the traction to have a two- or three-decade career?
Yeah. You know, I think that under the radar we have Yola, who is going to, you know, has this really interesting, soulful sound. And I think, you know, she's the type of person who is playing at, you know, 300-seat, 200-seat clubs in small towns, because those gigs were probably booked a few months ago, and she has exploded now. I think that we're going to hear a lot from her. I think that Billie Eilish is, you know, her or Lizzo, again, they're going to do a lot of competing throughout the night. I think we have to remember that, you know, much like Lorde, when we sort of were captivated by these hit singles, that these are teenagers that have come up with this, you know, just like Bob Dylan writing songs when he was a teenager that sort of resonated with everyone. We have some young artists that have come out that have just wowed people at such a young age. So, you know, it's hard to make it as a pop star. We'll see how Billie does over the next decade, but certainly points to her as being the next Lorde, the next Miley Cyrus, you know, Lady Gaga, the next, you know, person that we're going to be talking about for 5, 6, 7 years.
Jed, we always like to ask you about those people who might be under the radar. Who are a couple of artists that we should be listening to if we're not already?
Yeah, great question. Still Gold, hip-hop act, making a lot of noise out of Boston right now. Ghost Girl, sort of a dreamy folk singer that I'm working on a feature on for the Herald in the coming weeks. She's great. You know, I saw her at the Boston Music Awards at the House of Blues. It's like close to 3,000 people, sold out. Last year, she played just her and an acoustic guitar, kind of in, you know, for three songs, kind of enthralling these people that had come to see, you know, loud music and to have a big party. And I thought it was pretty bold of her to be able to do that. So I would definitely put her on your radar.
We were actually talking with Dave Clark of the Dave Clark Five earlier on the show today, and they've got a new collection coming out and largely on vinyl. Is vinyl really back to stay, do you think?
I think it is. I think it has, I think we have a generation, you know, a generation that grew up with it and still loves it and wants to get back into it. And then a younger generation who is discovering the pleasures of listening, the pleasures of, you know, owning something and sitting in their bedroom or their living room and putting a slice of vinyl on and, you know, letting it play and having that be more an experience. You know, so much of it is consumed on your phone, on a noisy train or bus or walking around your town. And I think people are really, you know, it's always going to be niche, but I think there's still a lot of room for that niche to grow. I think people just want to have an experience like they did in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Well, plus there's that permanence of it. For all of the people who embraced digital music, you know, what do you have when you switch computers and now half the songs don't play anymore? And because I'm old enough to remember the thrill of opening up that album and looking at the cover art, reading the liner notes and everything that goes with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you see this with movies as well. People were like, oh, I don't need these DVDs anymore. And now all of a sudden they have to subscribe to 8 streaming services to get what they want. And, you know, just because you may subscribe to a streaming service, that doesn't mean you're going to have that music around at any point. You know, it could disappear. Certainly if you lose your phone or you lose your computer and you don't have that stuff backed up, there's no sense of ownership. And I think people, it's a commitment, you know, to say, oh, I'm going to spend $20 on this new piece of vinyl, but it engages you with the art. You know, when you don't pay for anything, it doesn't have the value.
So right.
It's nice to see a commitment to that. And, you know, and also a good way for artists to actually still make some money in a day when they very much struggle.
The news broke yesterday, I guess, about Ozzy Osbourne, his diagnosis of Parkinson's. He was, I believe, booked to do a performance up here in our outdoor stage in the early summer. Do you think we'll see Ozzy Osbourne live on stage again?
Yeah, that is such, you know, he's been threatening to retire from the stage for so long. Black Sabbath had done their final tour. I think that he'll have a little time left, but you know, I remember when Glenn Campbell was dealing with this and was trying to tour, and it's just it becomes very frustrating for the artist when they can't perform to the level that they want to, and very sad. And I'm hoping, you know, we can get a little more time out of him, but he is someone that's probably been living on borrowed time for a few decades, so it's hard to know. I mean, he is. Lived a few lifetimes already.
I say, if you had Ozzy making it this far, you probably have already won a pool somewhere.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So hopefully, I mean, you never know with someone like him. The man has a lot of endurance.
No question about that. Hey, Jed, it's always great to have you on and talk music. We appreciate you making time for us this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Jed Gottlieb, check out his work at the Boston Herald and all kinds of other publications. Really good writer who knows music inside and outside.